Welcome, everybody, to Temple of Geek Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Nick Williams, and my other co-host is...
This is Kari, a.k.a. Starquist here.
And today we are reviewing the movie Boy Kills World, which just released in theaters. We're going to give a non-spoiler review of this, so you don't have to worry about any spoilers. By the end of this, we'll also tell you if it's go see it in the theater, stream, or pass. And we'll give you that... We'll give you that assessment by the end because we want you to watch this. But just first and foremost, the movie itself, the basic summary is you've got a boy who essentially grows into a young adult who is both deaf and mute and has to read lips, but has run away and hidden for all these years with a shaman and trained with a shaman in martial arts because this boy is trying to get revenge for the murder of his family by the Vanderkoy family, who are in power. And it's a kind of a dystopian, kind of a crazy world that we have there. But it's your basic setup is the basic revenge plot is what we've got there. The first thing before we really dive into this is there are a couple trigger warnings when it comes to this. I'll do the first one is that it's very violent. It's a very violent movie. We'll talk about what the violence means for the movie itself. But if you can't handle violence, there are a lot of cool martial arts, but it's still very violent, and there's a lot of blood and things that happen for people. So that's your first trigger warning.
Mm-hmm. Second trigger warning is there are kids involved in this movie, and there is violence towards some of these kids in the movie as well. Again, it's all part of the storytelling. It's not just for, you know, trying to get some type of reaction from people. I mean, obviously you do, but it's just part of the storytelling. But there is the kids do get, you know, some of this violence towards them.
So the movie is directed by Moritz Moore, and I might be mispronouncing that, but you've got an all-star cast. You've got Bill Skarsgård, Famke Janssen, Jessica Roth, Michelle Dockery, Brett Gelman, Isaiah Mustafa, and the list goes on. But the odd thing in this is that your lead character, played by Bill Skarsgård, who is just referred to as Boy, never says a word in the movie, because again, the main character is both deaf and mute, but there is an inner monologue that happens through this entire movie, and this is not a spoiler, but the boy chooses a video game character voice that he heard when he was young, and that is voiced by H. John Benjamin. And if you know who that is the voice of Bob's Burgers, as well as Archer and a plethora of others. But I will say, initially starting for me, when I first heard that voice with Bill Skarsgård, the oddness of having those two together, which I think was part of the storytelling point of it, but it definitely threw me for a loop because it took me a while to not hear Bob's Burgers in that.
No. It was a very interesting choice that they decided to go this way. I think because they wanted to, you know, like the way that I thought about the movie was a very comic book type of story. So having them do the voice in this way with being the one that is basically, you know, talking for the boy, I think it was very interesting. Again, like you said, it was like, oh, I know this voice. So I was like, all right, hold on. This is not another show that I'm watching, you know, but you know, you get used to it towards, you know, as the movie progresses. So it's not distracting. It doesn't stay distracting.
And of course, we talked about the violence of this, and that plays a whole aspect of it. Like with the voice being narrated that entire time gives a kind of the balance of comedy and violence, which I felt sometimes they achieved in the movie and sometimes it didn't quite line up for me as far as that nice little balance. But the violence is over the top. It is ridiculous. It is over the top. And I think it plays a part of the narrative of the movie, showing how ridiculous violence is in general. And of course, then you've got the voiceover, which adds to the comedy of that and the ridiculous of it. But yeah, so that's a lot of the balance of what the movie does. And just like you said, I definitely saw this as basically a graphic novel, a comic graphic novel a violent comic graphic novel come to life. And that's what, if you haven't noticed already, this is probably a violent movie. But yeah, it's not in such a way where it's John Wick, where you're just moving through and you just get action. It is, again, over the top when it comes to the violence and then the comedy element with that. But that's something that is definitely played with throughout the entire movie, of trying to find that balance within that.
Yeah. Yeah, again, and just wanted to touch again about, you know, the ridiculousness of the violence. Again, going back to the graphic novel comic book story, it's that type of violence. You know, not, like you said, it's not a John Wick that, you know, maybe is something that you could see in the real world. Things that happen in this movie definitely would not happen in the real world, the way, you know, they were, some of these gruesome deaths and some of these gruesome limb losses and stuff. It was definitely something that would happen like in a cartoon, you know, very like anime type of cartoon, you know, because anime is very graphic in that way. So basically it's like a live action anime type of story.
And the setup with a lot of this movie with the plot is that essentially you have a fascist regime, kind of almost like a dictatorship in charge, and they rule by violence. So what they end up doing every year is they essentially set up what can be described as a Hunger Games, without the game, just choosing certain people to show violence against to keep everybody else in line. But it ends up being a spectacle. They do the same kind of Hunger Games type of spectacle with that, where they, you know, it's a big show and they make it a whole presentation, and it allows people for somehow to celebrate the violence, but also keep people in line. And that's essentially the enemy of the movie. The villains are that family who are ruling in power.
Yeah. And just like, again, I just want to keep on with the theme of the comic book, even though, you know, it's very ridiculous, there's also a theme and a message with the story, being that you are fighting, even though it's a self-contained story with the boy, because it mostly focuses on him. But, you know, there's also a general aspect of, you know, having to fight this fascism and this violent oppression that the people are living, even though many have accepted it because that's all they've known for the time that they, you know, they lived there. But it's also definitely some type of commentary, social commentary towards having to fight against something like that. And I think it's very important that we, you know, make sure that people know this, because, you know, we know that there's real world things going on right now. And a lot of these movies that are coming out right now are kind of like getting us into that, the kind of mind frame, right, where we can compare and kind of be like, oh, well, this is kind of what's going on right now. So it's not just, you know, a ridiculous action, crazy violent movie. There is a story to tell as well.
And that's where the violence and the comedy really, really comes into it. Like, because it's over the top to show just how almost kind of foolish violence is. And then the over the top aspect plus the comedy helps the audience absorb a lot of the harder themes when it comes to this, because the things that we see in the world are things that we see in this movie. But because it's so ridiculous, it becomes a little more palatable. Because there's a lot of movies that come out and that are just so real world that it's really uncomfortable to watch. And this puts you in a place where you can understand the themes, you can relate it to the real world, but it doesn't make you so uncomfortable that you can still have a bit of that escapism with understanding the message.
Yes, absolutely agree with that. And, you know, I also think that the fact that the boy was, you know, narrating everything in his head, and we were seeing everything through his point of view, you know, we really get to see, you know, what kind of world that they've been living in and everything that everybody's been going through, and just the things that he's had to go through to get to the point where he's at, you know, once he gets older. It's really entertaining. It absolutely was like, okay, this is funny, this is like over the top, but I get it, you know, I support what he's doing. You end up kind of like feeling, yeah, I have to support him, because if I was in the same position, I'd probably be doing kind of the same thing. But yeah.
One of the storytelling aspects that they use in this is that the boy, as a young man now, is seeing visions of his sister, and that's one of the people that he's trying to get revenge for what happened to his family. But it's only in his head. But the sister accompanies him on this journey. But the sister's like kind of integrated into some of the violent scenes, but nothing violent happens to the sister mm-hmm. during this. But it gives a little bit of that. The sister is really kind of the consciousness, the what's right and what's wrong aspect to what's going on around us, and gives focus to the commentary of what we're supposed to take away from that. So we just don't get carried away in the violence. Mm-hmm. We see through the eyes of what the sister does, and that kind of that innocence, but yet wise.
Yes. And I like that they kept, I mean, honestly, the last time, the last memory that he has a sister is her being that young. She was like, what, like 10, 11, I believe, around that. So, mm-hmm. you know, again, being that the child, you know, having a child be his conscience kind of like brings him back to his innocence and his childhood. Like, okay, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be doing certain things. This is a little bit too crazy now for me. So she keeps him grounded for sure in that way. Yeah.
This movie is set up in a way that could potentially be predictable, in that you have that kind of like video game setup where you have a certain like scene where there's going to be a fight and you're fighting the minions, and then you get to the boss fight. But you could definitely tell that this was a passion project by the director, and didn't want to just be completely cliche mm-hmm. with every single thing. The director actually had to get money to create a concept film, and worked with a well-known fight choreographer, martial arts choreographer, and had to present it to the studio. And I think the film maybe cost like $20,000 or whatever it was to show that concept before making it. And that takes a lot of dedication. You have to like believe in that project. But yeah, when it comes to the boss fights and the villains, it does not go the way you expect. But that's definitely one of the part of the charm of this movie is that it doesn't always go the way you expect. And mm-hmm. I always appreciate that.
No. That definitely was one of the biggest entertainment parts, was just, you know, getting to know these silly characters, and then getting into the fights. And then you're like, wait, what happened? how did this take a left turn here? Like it was completely, like you said, unpredictable. And I think that that's what keeps the audience attention on the movie as well. Not just the violent part, but just the fact that it goes in certain ways that you do not expect it going. So I appreciated that a lot.
There are definitely certain parts of the movie where I was just kind of looking around like, what is going on? I'm a bit lost. And once you give it time, it tells the story and makes sense. But like, there are definitely times in the movie you're going to be like, I don't know anymore. And you just kind of have to throw out the script and just go with it. I will say, for me, there were things that were predictable, and there were definitely things that were not predictable, because where you think it's going to go is not where it goes. And there are definitely certain parts that would be very hard to predict. Yeah. I think one of the best parts of the movie is some of the characters that you meet along the way. Some of the characters that that boy befriends are just absolutely like, you weren't sure about them at first, but then they became such a delight. And then, yeah.
No, they definitely added that needed, you know, I guess, character to the whole story, that certain, you know, silliness, the comedy part, the fact that, you know, they become part of the boys team, and that helps boy yeah kind of also grow throughout the movie, helps with his arc. So I definitely, the side partners were also one of my favorite parts.
There were a couple villains that I absolutely, absolutely loved, because they were definitely, what's the word I'm looking for? They were caricatures, but they were similar to other villains, but again, over the top and ridiculous, that you know, like you get with a Bond villain, but the person who was writing it just knew, like, okay, Bond villains can be pretty ridiculous, so let's actually like take it a step further.
No, they were completely over the top. And I think that the fact that nobody took them seriously, because nobody, like, especially like the first few bosses, they were not taken seriously at all. And I think that was funny because it's just it brings that whole feel of like, well, okay, why are they fighting him? He's such a clown, you know. It was such a clown type of villain and stuff, but it was completely entertaining. It was funny.
So my basic feel and overview of the movie is that it was entertaining for sure. It's definitely an entertaining movie. It has a message, and that message is understandable. Within that, it doesn't tell you, but it does show you what that message is. There again, when it came to the comedy and the balance, it was hit or miss for me with some of those moments. But I will say, as the film went on, that started to line up better. Once we started to see more of both the friends and the villains, I think that created a better balance as we started to find that. It definitely felt a little disjointed in the beginning, and then found focus for me. How about you?
No. I think the same way. I just, like, again, at the beginning, it felt kind of all over the place. Obviously, that's how it starts because of the feel of the movie, which is supposed to be ridiculous. So it was just like so many different things happening at the same time. It was like, okay, where are we supposed to be paying attention? What are we doing? You know, but as the story progressed and we started learning more about Boy's story and about everybody else's story and this world's story, like you said, it started getting a little bit more cohesive for me.
All right, here's the most important question, Gotti. Do they see it in the theater? Do they stream it, or do they just pass?
This definitely is not a pass because it's a very entertaining movie, but you can definitely wait to have it streamed online. This is not necessary to go to the theater. I don't think so. What do you think, Mike?
I definitely think stream. It was fun to see on the big screen because of the action, and there's a lot of visuals with it. But I definitely would say it is a good at-home viewing, not with the kids around. No. But I will say it is a movie that you don't want to be doing too many other. You don't want to be multitasking during this movie because you will be lost if you're not at least like 75% kind of tuning in. Yeah. 'Cause there's certain key elements that once you pass those storytelling moments, you'll have the question mark over your head for the rest of it.
No, definitely I agree with that. This is not a movie that you sit down and you have to like think about, and it's a deep, you know, type of story where it's like, you know, you could talk about this in a very serious tone, because it's not that. But the storytelling is very interesting, and the way they went about it trying to tell the story, like Nick said, you have to pay attention because there's a lot of details that are going to come all together towards the end of the movie.
I think this is the start of a good dynamic here. I think we're going to become like the next Siskel and Ebert. Just far more attractive than Siskel and Ebert.
Absolutely, more fun. And charming. You know?
I know we're more, but the geek version of it, obviously. But for the rest of you, again, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you. You can follow Temple of Geek everywhere. You got Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. We are everywhere. And of course, don't forget to like and subscribe to the channel that you are watching currently. We appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in. Any last words for you, Kari?
No. Just thank you again for being here with us, and expect more reviews coming your way.
We'll see you next time.